Hi, this is David Wilk for Publishing Talks, a podcast about the publishing industry. Today I'm interviewing Susan Danziger, the founder of Daily Lit, dailylit.com. Hi, Susan, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for interviewing me.
Oh, my pleasure. I've been interested in your work for a long time, and I think Daily Lit is a terrific site. Since we don't know who's listening and whether they know what Daily Lit is or not, maybe you could talk a little bit about what Daily Lit is and what, when you started it, kind of what was the impetus behind it that got you to start this website?
Sure. So what Daily Lit is a service and a site that allows people to read books that come in very short installments into their email inbox or via RSS feed. And the nice thing is that you can read your installments in under 5 minutes, mostly 2-3 minutes, sometimes even a few seconds. Because it comes into your email inbox, you can read it on any device, either your BlackBerry or iPhone or your laptop or your desktop. And it's really meant for people who are very busy and want to integrate reading into their daily lives.
I was going to ask you, what year did you start Daily Lit? I know I subscribed pretty much right away because I love the idea, but I can't remember when it was.
Well, let's see. We got the idea about, 3 or 4 years ago, but we did a formal launch, I guess it was May of 2008, maybe? 2000, something like that. I guess it was about 2.5 years ago since the formal launch. And we got the idea originally because the New York Times serialized some classic works like Breakfast at Tiffany's. I don't know if you remember.
I do, a few
summers ago.
Sure.
And it came as a special literary supplement that you got periodically in your newspaper. And I was commuting at the time, and I thought, this is kind of cool. I could read installments of Breakfast at Tiffany's as I was on the train. It was in my newspaper. But then I thought, well, what would be even better is why don't I get the installments in my email inbox every day or whenever I wanted them. And so that's where the idea of the service came.
And you were working in publishing at the time that you thought of
it? I was, yeah. What's interesting is I was working in publishing. I was, I think I was at Random House at the time, or I just maybe left Random House. And but this has really started because of my own personal desire to kind of be able to start reading again. I had absolutely no time to read. I guess after having kids and working a full-time job, it's to find 2 or 3 hours at a time to sit down and read a book was kind of out of the question. So. Really born separately from my career.
So, like a lot of good ideas, I think they represent, or when they take hold, it seems like your idea is one that, or your sensibility is one that was shared by a lot of other people. So, it took off.
Yeah, I mean that's sort of the interesting thing about our story, which is we started it for ourselves. This is my husband and myself, and then we showed it to some friends, and we started reading Pride and Prejudice and War of the Worlds, and then showed it to some friends, and they thought it was a pretty cool idea, but then had asked for more books to be put on Daily Lit, which we'd done, and then all of the features that we've built since the beginning, whether it's being able to set the time of the delivery of the installments or make the installments longer if people have more time, or be able to suspend and resume your installments if you're going on vacation. Those, all of the features and books really came out of readers and first friends and then friends of friends and then generally readers' requests.
And so, how many people now do you have subscribing?
Well, we have about well over 150,000, probably closer, about maybe 180, 90,000 people who are subscribers.
And how many, at any given moment, how many people are you delivering? Because obviously, people can be members and not actually subscribing to a particular book or story at that point. But so on a given day, how many emails are you sending out?
That's a good question, and I don't have that right off the top of my head, but I can get back to you on that one.
No, just curious. I was not trying to pin you down, just trying to
No,
get a sense
that's
of
okay. That's
you know,
okay. But I will tell you that I do know that we've sent over 25 million book installments since we started, actually closer to 26.
That's a lot. That has been,
Well,
big numbers.
it's great because people have been able to read books and stories and be exposed to books that they never would have had a chance to before, and that's the fun part for us.
Well, and the obviously it attracts people to be able to read, kind of control their reading experience in an electronic way. You know, I don't think it means that people stop reading their print books. But there are places and times when you are not able to carry a book with you. So the obvious convenience of being able to read on a cell phone or whatever device you happen to have with you is pretty attractive. And we've talked about this, you and I, that a lot of people do not want to have an additional device. So what you're offering them is the opportunity to read on whatever cell phone or computer screen they happen to be in front of at that particular time.
That's right. And what's interesting about the way we've created Daily Lit is that because it comes into your email inbox or RSS feed at whatever time you want, you can set your installments to be delivered, for instance, if you're a commuter at 6:30 every weekday morning, or if you want a break at lunch, they'll come into your inbox at 12 noon every day, or in advance or under advanced options, it may just be on Wednesday and Sunday. So you can really, it's kind of like pushing it out, and a little bit like your own personal trainer for books.
Right, or the comparative would be TiVo for books, because now I can control when I have, and of course I can also let it pile into my inbox until the time when I have more time to read. You know, the
That's right. That's right. And
emails just stay there. So, if I want to read it later, I can always do that.
Absolutely. In fact, I remember one reader described Daily Lit as his 5 o'clock martini.
So now yesterday, which was December 1st, you made a big announcement and you stated that from now on everything on Daily Lit will be free. And maybe you can talk a little bit about this whole issue of paid per, you know, per, paid for by purchase versus essentially a broadcast television model where everything is paid for by sponsors and the consumer simply consumes.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, ever since the beginning, we've been listening to our readers and really letting them dictate how the service has evolved. And we originally started with books for pay because readers wanted more contemporary titles. We started with our classic books, and the way that we were able to add them at the time was to strike deals with publishers for the contemporary content and offer them for pay. What we realized in looking at what people, which books and stories people were selecting, is that they were really interested in clearly our premier content, but really gravitated overwhelmingly to the books and stories that were available for free. So we realized rather than fight the tide, what we were going to do is move completely to a sponsorship model. And so rather than the readers paying for books, the sponsors would be able to make the books available for free to readers.
And so do you think this is significant, not just for you, but kind of implies something about the future of electronic reading or digital reading, that in fact it because of the nature of the electronic environment, we're used to receiving lots of information for free, and the idea of premium content doesn't really work for a lot of people. As you say, they gravitate toward the free, which kind of makes sense. You know, if you have a choice, you know, there's so many things to read, and if I'm a reader, the difference between what I can read for free and what I can read for pay may not be significant enough to get me to want to pay. So the implication is that every kind of digital reading experience which is available, or at least not every, but many reading experiences will gravitate toward free. I don't know whether that's true. I guess I'm kind of interested to know what you think of that idea.
Yeah, the answer is I frankly don't know. I don't know in terms of other people's businesses and other kinds of formats in terms of the sort of digital books. In my experience, which is really frankly limited to the serialized version of books, the paid books, you know, people weren't that interested in receiving, and that may be particular to this serialized version that's via email, where readers may be more used to receiving quality content in email that's not for pay, that comes in, because a lot of people receive newsletters.
I think that's actually a good point, that the method of distribution has something to do with what people are willing to pay for something as well. And also that potentially the market of readers segments significantly, so that somebody who owns a Kindle or reads on their iPhone or a Sony reader or a Nook or whatever one of the devices that they may be using may be less prone to subscribing to Daily Lit because they've got this other device that they're using, whereas your audience may be people who are kind of desultory electronic readers, if you want to call it that.
Well, yeah, I'm not even sure that they're mutually exclusive. What we provide is, we solve a different problem for people. It's interesting because I know a lot of people who have Kindles and other devices, and every day they read their newspapers on their Kindle, and may even load up a number of books, and yet rarely read those books. Whereas with our method of distribution, in their email inbox, RSS feed, there seems to be, it's more of a push so that people, know that in, just a minute or two a day, they can read their books, and it's right there, presented right in front of them, and it kind of becomes part of their routine and daily schedule.
So do you keep track? I mean, of course, I'm sure you do, and you may not want to give out these numbers, but do you keep track of the email open rates? Do you know how many people receive your feeds and actually end up not reading them versus the number that actually does read them?
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, I think we have an incredibly high open rate for emails. I can dig that up as we talk, but I believe it's about 50% of our readers who open our emails, and I think the reason is that they know that we, the content in our installments. You know, the quality is incredibly high, and you know, we're actually giving readers exactly what they want.
Right,
so,
now that clearly people are asking for this to come into their mailbox. Of course, it'll be interesting to see whether there's a difference, you know, between open rate for something you paid for versus open rate for something you're getting for free. But that, of course, that's a, you know, maybe an extraneous distinction that's just sort of lurking in the back there.
I mean, you know, most of the things that people were subscribing to in any case were, as I say, the free ones. So I don't think that that's going to be, you know, that's going to differ now that we've announced that we're entirely free.
So, and is your goal to expand the number of new books that you have to offer? Are you, you know, continuously in conversation with publishers? Are you looking for new content? Are you, you know, what are your sort of goals for the future?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you ask, because what we're moving to is an interesting model of creating channels on Daily Lit, and those channels will be around particular areas of interest for readers. So that, for instance, our cooking channel people will subscribe to, and then we'll be delivering installments of new and noteworthy cookbooks that they should be aware of. And, you know, again, the nice thing about our installments is it's not just ads for books, but our readers know that when they get an installment from us, there's something really of substance. So when we're talking about a cookbook, it might be a recipe from that cookbook, or it might be a story within the particular science fiction genre. So, you know, we're really, again, about still maintaining the high quality and also then now moving to the sort of channel model, so that people will be getting stories, content, installments according to their areas of interest.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. As you know, as you kind of evolve, people tend toward organizational structures. You know, they need to be able to figure out what they're looking for and find things easily that they're interested in at any given moment. So I think the channel idea makes a lot of sense. It sort of ends up, you know, kind of you looking like, you know, maybe XM radio or something, you know, where people have to be able to know what they want to listen to or read that particular day.
Right, right. And I think what's interesting is when we did a survey of our readers, we asked them what is it that they liked in particular about Daily Lit, and a number of them mentioned the element of surprise, that they love that little surprise every day in their inbox that they may not, that they won't know what's coming the next day. So I think, you know, playing off of that and creating the channels and again feeding them content always of the highest quality, that they may not know exactly what is coming is clearly something that people are interested in.
Well, and obviously then over time people build up a level of trust with you, so that you have to retain that ability to select what people get. You can't just be in a situation where you deliver everything. It sounds like part of your model is to be selective.
Absolutely. And in fact, what we started to do is name particular people in whether it's the publishing industry for our book channel, or people who are very well known in other areas, subject areas, to be guest curators of the content, so that we look to them to help us deliver what they view as the premier content within a particular channel.
I think that's a really good idea. So, listen, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you about something else you've done, which is to create a community called The Publishing Point, which I have joined. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that, because I think it's a really interesting development.
We're really excited about it. The idea behind The Publishing Point came when I was going approaching publishers in my role of the founder of Daily Lit to really to speak with them about how we could work together. And I remember speaking with them, this is a couple of years ago now, about our Twitter integration. We built this feature on Daily Lit so that if somebody signs up for Daily Lit and links their Twitter profile or their Twitter account to their Daily Lit profile, it automatically gets tweeted to their followers the book that they've started reading, which people have liked. And I was I thought it was a really neat addition. But when I was going around to publishers, they sort of looked at me blankly when I talked about Twitter, and they either hadn't heard of it at the time, or it's obviously a different time now. But so I thought to myself, well, clearly there are people in publishing that need to be educated in the digital world and what was happening. And so I started to create these seminars. They were sort of monthly seminars, basically to educate people in publishing about what was going on in the digital world. And what I realized was that there were pockets of people at different publishers who were incredibly sophisticated and knew exactly what was going on, who may or may not have been the decision makers, but clearly were interested in the digital publishing world. And so those were the first people who quickly signed up for our events. And we've gotten speakers both within the industry, such as Debbie Steer from Harper Studio, as well as people from outside the industry. I think it's important for people in publishing to hear about new initiatives, not just from other publishing folks. So we've had, for instance, David Karp, the founder of Tumblr, come talk to the group. We've had Seth Godin come talk to the group. He did a great talk on rethinking the publishing industry. And then from these monthly talks, what we've done is, I realize there are a number of people that are really interesting to hear from, but we may not be available for talks. So I started this video series, and I've interviewed people like Cory Doctorow, who's based in London. I interviewed him at Frankfurt, and a number of other people like Kelly Gallagher and Neilan Choksi, and so lots of other people. So similar to what you're doing here, certainly.
No, I think it's a really good idea, and I certainly recommend people in publishing who may be listening to check out Publishing Point. It's a Ning, built on Ning, which makes it pretty easy to navigate as a social media, social network of its own. I think it's
that's great.
You've done some great stuff. Everything that you've done seems to just naturally be right. So you're on to something, Susan. thanks a lot for talking to me. This is David Wilk talking to Susan Danziger of Daily Lit and the Publishing Point for Publishing Talks. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, David.